As a response to the shooting of Jacob Blake by Kenosha police, the Milwaukee Bucks this past Wednesday in a last-minute announcement, one of the best-kept secrets in the nation this past week, they chose not to play their scheduled game that afternoon in protest. The other NBA team scheduled for that day, they followed suit, as did several WNBA, MLB, soccer teams, as well as some tennis players, come to think of it, who were scheduled for that day. NBA team scheduled for this past Thursday also sat out in protest. It's been said regarding the NBA that all went the way it did based on the decision of LeBron James. If I understand things right from sports journalists who are, as they say, in the bubble, first he was bothered that the Bucks made their decision on their own. Then as time progressed, James first wanted to play, then wasn't sure, then finally agreed with the sitting out protest. Players in basketball and other sports too, they're obviously looking for the best and most effective platform to communicate their anger and demand for change on. While scoring 40 points in the playoff game, yeah, that gets you attention. But they seem unsure about how to convert that attention into some sort of proactive platform. ESPN's Stephen A. Smith latched onto the idea of they're lacking a plan, which seems to be a good summation of the situation. The answer is actually quite simple, and it's found in relatively recent history. Throughout the 1960s, especially, pro and even Olympic athletes used the attention they received on their respective playing fields to gain access to places that they could, in more detail, communicate their concerns and ideas, which in turn compelled a greater awareness within the population regarding the issues, especially when it came to civil rights in the 60s and into the 70s. Got an example for you. Here's NFL legend Jim Brown on the Dick Cavett Show in 1970. And in case you don't remember or too young to remember the Dick Cavett Show, there'd be an interesting combination of guests. It's not the glad-handing and game-playing you see on the late-night talk shows today. Jim Brown with Georgia Governor, at the time Georgia Governor, Lester Maddox, who is only a direct way to say it. He was a bigot, segregationalist. But take note how Maddox tries to present himself to this national audience he had access to as a love-all type of guy, as Brown slowly, methodically circles in to get Maddox to reveal his true self, as Brown delivers his message, no yelling or any other loud confrontation, just a dedication by Brown to the truth in an intelligent, very effective way to get to it.
Governor, let me just ask you this right straight out. What do you understand racism to mean, or how would you define that, or segregation? Would you say you're a segregationist?
Yes, and I believe in my term, or my definition of segregation, should say. Mm-hmm. And that is a segregationist, a person that loves his race enough, or other races enough, has enough of racial pride and integrity to want to preserve them. And I think a racist is one that doesn't care enough for his race or another race to where they would don't care whether they're amalgamated or destroyed or not.
Then could I ask the governor a question?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the black Muslims in this country?
Not too familiar with them, no.
Well, they practice black separatism.
Well, that's reason I'm not familiar with them.
Good answer. Very good answer. That's all to say. But to continue along that line, do you feel that what they're doing is right? You know, they believe that white people should be separate. They believe that they should have a state in this country. I think they felt that Mississippi or Georgia should be, you know, one of those two states should be the state.
Do you feel that? I was thinking maybe they ought to make it New York.
New York, you think so? All right, I'm gonna get off of that, Governor. You look too tough.
No, I think that forced racial segregation is criminal and unconstitutional, and I think forced racial integration is criminal and unconstitutional. I think either one of them is cruel.
You mean on a social?
Force.
You mean on a social level?
Any level, where it's forced.
Well, we do have the laws. You mean when the laws are enforced,
that if it involves integration, then it is wrong.
If it forces people against their will, against denying them their choice,
then
to
you
separate
mean
or to
be,
integrate,
there should be an exception.
It'd be just as wrong if the law would be just as wrong to force them to integrate as it would to be to force them to segregate.
Well, don't you?
If a country can finally get to the point of saying, "Well, you're going to hire this person, you're going to promote this person, you're going to serve this person," or you, then the country, same country can come right around and tell you, "You've got to work for that person, you've got to eat with that person, you've got to be served by that person." And this would be cruel and wrong, but so it is when it tells another person that you've got to do this.
Well, the laws of the land tells us all what we have to do, basically.
That doesn't make it right.
Well, I agree with that, but
I mean,
don't you believe...
Don't the Supreme Court goes outside the Constitution. That doesn't make the Supreme Court right, does it?
Don't you believe to have an affluent society, we've all, chose to live in a society together... Don't you believe that to preserve that society that we need laws, laws of the land? That's why we have a society. And we cannot make exception to these laws just because a person happens to be black or white. Don't you believe
that?
We've
got most of these laws because we don't abide by the laws of God, though. And so we try to go against the laws of God and against the laws of nature, and we say, well, now, you're inferior, and you're not going to be able to meet with success in education or in your social life, even in your religious life, unless you do it with another race. And this teaches inferiority to me.
As governor,
and it's wrong and it's criminal and it's cruel to teach any one person that he is inferior to another race or his race is inferior.
But as governor of the state of Georgia, did you go by the laws of God or by the laws of the state?
I go by the laws of God and by the laws of the state.
As you see fit.
What is...
No, sir, not as I see fit.
I just wanted to ask the governor... When you say it's morally wrong, integration, I believe that's what you said. Or
I said forced segregation or forced integration, racial integration or forced racial segregation. They're both morally wrong, cruel, and they're in violation of the United States Constitution, which is the law of the land, not the Supreme Court ruling that denies the Constitution.
You know, I assume you know Dr. Billy Graham.
Sir?
I said, you know Dr. Billy Graham?
Yes, sir.
He was here last night, and he said that racial prejudice is also morally wrong. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, sir. I think racial prejudice is wrong. Yes, sir.
No!
We have our government's probably practicing more prejudice today than ever practiced in all the land so far as between the black and whites.
Mm-hmm.
There was a quote that you made on the fight in Miami that Muhammad Ali participated in with Jerry Quarry. And, well, not in Miami, but in Atlanta. But black people always felt that Atlanta was the model city of the South because of its integration and because of the participation in economics of black people. And your statement on the day of the fight was something like this, that it's a dark day in Georgia because this fight is being put on. Now, the law of the land said that a man can participate in his particular profession unless he is in jail. I felt very happy that this fight took place in Atlanta. How did you feel about it?
I felt very sad.
And why was that?
Here's a man that has said, well, here I want to fight in the ring for money, but I won't even wear the uniform of my country. He says that I can't do this, but in other words, I'm going to act different from these other people who stand up for their country and put on the uniform. Had they not fought for this country, if they were not even fighting today and wearing this uniform, that he could not even get in a ring and fight and be a free man to
but
fight.
But isn't it true?
So he's helping to tear down this country with this philosophy, with this belief. Suppose every American, Mr. Brown, suppose every American had decided that they were not going to put on the uniform of their country and not fight for it. We wouldn't have a United States of America, and I couldn't be on your show, and you probably wouldn't even have a show.
Isn't it true?
If everybody had that attitude, and I don't like it, and I don't care whether you like it, don't care who don't like it.
Well, I did serve my time, which, of course, I was a little before Muhammad Ali, and I was not maybe as intelligent as he is, because he was the first individual, I think, in this country that came out and said he had nothing against the Viet Cong. I think there were two other politicians in the country that made a very similar statement later. The late Bobby Kennedy came back from Vietnam and basically said the same thing. At the time, it was not a popular stand to make, but today it is a very popular stand. In fact, we have a lieutenant that's on trial now for certain things that happen in Vietnam. But I am saying that this man followed the law of the land. He made his stand. He has been fighting through the courts. He has gone to the higher courts, and he will go to jail if he is proven guilty.
Well, I hope now, he does feel, go. I hope that, because I think he's guilty
can
of treason.
Can I finish? Can I finish? Don't you feel that whenever a man goes through the courts, that he is abiding by the laws of the land, and that man who is willing to stand up with that decision is a brave man, regardless of what his beliefs might be? I know a lot of Southerners who, you know, really like black people. And, you know, they portray themselves as being really segregationists and that they hate black people and so forth. But
I know some black people feel the same way, but I don't know any Southerners that don't like, white Southerners don't like blacks. Do you know of any? Can you name one?
I'll tell you something. That's a very interesting point.
I mean, can you name one?
No, I'm going to answer that question. It's an interesting point, you see.
It is, yeah.
They like black people, but they like them in a role, you see. They like them when they're very humble. And they're very loyal.
Well, I like humble people, whether they're white or black, don't you?
I know, but you see.
And loyal people, whether they're black or white, don't you?
White people have the choice.
You don't like loyal.
You don't like the black people to have the choice, you see. It's only a matter of choice.
I want black people and white people to have choice. Well, you got it all mixed up. You're trying to twist it around.
No, I'm only trying to agree with you. Would you let me finish?
If you'll tell the truth.
Well, I'm only making an analysis, really. It's not a matter of truth or false. What I'm really saying is that basically history has proven that during the days of slavery, whenever a slave was more or less humble and he did what he was told, that he was in good favor with the master. But whenever a slave was too educated, if he became aware of his own self and he wanted to become more than the master wanted him to become, then he was a bad slave. He was then put down because he represented a threat to the already established kind of white society.
Let me say this. Those situations are true with white people and black people. Now, you're just trying to point it at black people only.
Because
but they've been true throughout
the
history of the
we're
world.
Talking about.
There's been discrimination. Black against white against black, and white against white. There always has been. There always will be. And you're not going to wipe it out, and Tricky Dick's not going to wipe it out, and the Supreme Court's not going to wipe it out.
You're not addressing it. You're not addressing your answer to my question.
Are you referring to me as Tricky Dick?
No, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, you were? Oh. Well, you know something, Governor. Believe it or not, I don't think that integration should be the number one thrust of our civil rights leaders anyway, because I think what we're really talking about in this country is economic development of black people, because I've found
economic development of all people.
Well, we're talking about underprivileged
people. How come you have black people? How come you don't want to do it for black people?
I'll tell you why.
Huh?
I'll tell you why.
How come you don't do it for everybody? How come you're always black people? Why don't you talk about all people?
Can I give you an answer?
I think we understand the question. Yeah.
Can I give you an answer? Do you mind?
Go ahead. If you're ready, I'll give you time.
Okay, Governor. What I'm really saying is that there are some people that have suffered in this country, poor people generally, but let's say that we have various ethnic groups in this country that have attained a certain kind of equality. Black people are more or less, along with the Indians, on the last rung of the ladder. Can I finish, Governor? Can I finish? Okay, do you mind?
What I'm really saying
is that I feel that the way to bring about equality of black people in this system is through economic...
What about equality of white people? Now, I won't interrupt you every time you keep calling black people.
Well,
what about equality of all people?
If you interrupt me, Governor, I can't talk to you.
Well, you're just going to talk about black people, don't include all people. I try to include all people. You're just interested in the black. Why don't you tell these people that in Atlanta, Georgia, where you keep talking about the South, that the percentage-wise, more black people are professional business people, industrial
Governor,
leaders,
can I,
more
can
of them in our state house elected officials than any other state
you?
In the country.
Can I interrupt you? Can I interrupt
Be
you?
Be all right, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. See, I'm not really here to fight with you. I'm only trying to have a discussion with you.
I'm not going to fight with you either.
And I'm trying to use the technique.
There's a lot of people out there watching you, and I want you to be fair about all people, not just black people. We got a lot of people in this country.
I can understand that, but you do know I have a reputation, right? And I saw
I don't
you.
Know about
I saw,
it.
I saw you. I saw
tell
you.
Tell me what your reputation is.
I saw
is
you
now.
Bring that state trooper back there, you know, behind the curtain. I know you brought him back there for a reason. But that's not my purpose tonight.
Here you go, trying.
That is
here
not
you,
my purpose
well, you
tonight.
Let me tell you this.
Would you like to join this conversation?
No, I'm going to say this.
Would you like to join this conversation?
I would let. Why? Is it coming
in? Let me say this, Mr.
Would you let Dick talk a little
bit? No, I've got to say this. No, I'm going to let him talk.
See, before I got on this group,
because I got a state trooper like all the other governors in the country carry one, and they require it in the state governments that the governors have security personnel.
You didn't get them because
you
knew I
was here, right? So I carry one of them. I didn't even know you would be here. It was a surprise when I came here tonight and found you would be here.
Wait.
I've never traveled anywhere in the United States since I've been governor. No other governor's traveled without one security personnel. Some of them have three and four. I carry one man as an aide, not as security.
Hmm. Governor Mattis, could I...
Are you afraid because I came up here with an aide?
I've forgotten what my voice sounds like. I would like to say... Governor, I don't want you to create the impression that you were trapped in any sense tonight. I mean, it's been known for some days that Mr. Brown is going to be here. We didn't actually trap you, did we, into coming in?
I want you to know that I didn't know he was going to be here, but it wouldn't make no difference because you invited me and I accepted the invitation.
Yes.
But he said something about I know his reputation. I don't know Jim Brown. Who is Jim Brown?
Boy.
Before we move on from this point, while not forgetting it because that was pretty spectacular what Mr. Brown did there, there are two elements that are important for athletes with a message to possess. A knowledge of history and a real good BS detector. Because without both, your chance of success can pretty much disappear. Let's go with history first. Its value can't be ignored. Regarding civil rights, just looking at the present eliminates the appreciation for the cause that really is needed. For instance, when baseball retired Jackie Robinson's number 42, reporters went around to black players and asked them what this meant to them personally. It was a fairly monumental move. More players than you would have imagined responded to those reporters with, "Well, that's cool, but who's Jackie Robinson?" Second, BS detection. Let's flip over to the entertainment world for this. Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack campaigned big time for John F. Kennedy in the 1960 presidential election. Sammy Davis Jr., one of the Rat Pack members, worked hard with the black community to get out the vote for JFK. Kennedy obviously won. Not by much, but, you know, close still counts. And when it came time for the Kennedy inauguration, the Kennedy family told Sinatra they wanted Sammy Davis Jr. to stay away that weekend. Why? Because Sammy was dating and was about to marry a white woman, and apparently that bothered the Southern Democrat delegations. Well, Sammy stayed home out of respect to Frank, not to the Kennedys, and by the way, so did Dean Martin, another Rat Pack member who wasn't about to kiss any Kennedy ass. So when you look for those outside platforms to communicate your message, that's where the BS detector really comes into play.